General, what I'm beginning to see in Nigeria is that if you are not a big man, you are a dead man. In all honesty, nobody has any regard for you. I think we have him there. Doc, is this you?
Me.
Is this you?
Yes.
It must be very cold, you know. Anyway, we've lost some time, so let me go straight to business. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning, I'm very well, thank you. Very, very well.
Okay, so folks, I have Dr. Olifade on the line, and we've got to shoot because we don't have that much time. So, can you tell us, are you satisfied with the way the case went? The equivalent of the case?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am satisfied, yes.
Do you think that justice has been withheld in this instance?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think justice was done. You must try to make a distinction between the law and morality.
Okay.
The Modern Slavery Act forbids what he did. So you're pure and simple. Mm-hmm. You know, if you follow the case properly, you would find that it was a conspiracy to harvest organ. They planned it. Initially, he was his brother, who was a doctor, who had contacted Dr. Obita, and he came with the elaborate plan. And according to the judge, you can see that Ekweremadu was accused or was said to have known by deliberately staying one step away. So he never had direct contact with the boy.
Yes.
But he was funding it. So now, let us say he didn't know that it was particular Mr. Y who was the victim. Or he knew there was somebody who was selling an organ.
Yes.
Now, to sell an organ, to have a commercial organ transaction is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So the judge said the boy did not have an informed decision. Even if the boy was properly aware of what he was going to do,
yes,
it would still be a crime. It would still be a crime. You're not allowed to buy an organ. Full stop.
And did the judge take into cognizance that the Ekweremadu himself is a lawyer and should have known that it was
he did say that in his judgment. He said that he was the deputy president of Senate and he was lead person in the formation of a similar law in Nigeria.
In Nigeria.
So he knew there was a law like that in Nigeria, which he helped to put in place. So he knew the implications of trading in human organs.
Why do you think the daughter was let off the hook?
The daughter was not part of the conspiracy.
Oh, I see. There was evidence to that effect.
Yes. So the parents said, we found a donor. Oh, thank you, Daddy. You found a donor. Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm so happy.
And it ended there.
Yes. And then she was asked to sign a document, an affidavit, to say that the donor was her cousin. And her father told her not to sign it.
Ah.
And she didn't sign it. Now, that was adduced in evidence as in the trial as evidence of Ekweremadu not conspiring with anybody. But the judge said, well, that in itself is evidence of him staying one step away. Making sure neither he nor his daughter committed perjury by signing a false affidavit.
I see.
So she didn't sign the affidavit, didn't know the victim, and she never particularly told anybody that this person is my victim, is my cousin.
My cousin.
Yes. So the daughter was not part of the conspiracy, even though she was to be the beneficiary of the organ.
Do you find it, is there anything that protects the victim, that's the gentleman? But I'll tell you this, my major concern is for the victim, not for any other person. Because this is the victim, his life would never be the same again. Some people might look at it to say, okay, he has an opportunity to go to the United Kingdom, and I say, so what? That is not a guarantee that his life is going to be better. To be honest with you, in fact, his life could take a turn for the worse. So what protection does he have under the law now, the victim? Remember, he's 21.
Yes. He would just be protected like any other victim in the UK. Society protects us. We have the police. We have law enforcement agencies. He will be granted asylum, I believe.
Okay.
And once he's granted asylum, then he could live here and protected by anybody. If he is very, very worried, or if there is evidence that his life is in danger, it could be put on a witness protection scheme. We have witness protection schemes where he'll be given a new identity.
Yes.
And relocated somewhere and you would know. It could even be obese. It could be the US, Canada, Australia. You wouldn't know. With a new name, new identity. If it's in a witness protection, if his life is in real danger. But I don't think it will go that fine on this occasion. You never know.
But isn't it significant also that the judge had said that they had approached him to ask if he wanted any monetary compensation, and he turned it down?
Yes, it is. It just goes to show that he wasn't in it for the money.
Okay.
There is what we call a compensation order, especially where the convict, the accused, is in a position to make a pay a compensation order. So the judge would look at what the victim has lost and the injury to his feelings and other things, and then order the convict to pay a sum of money as compensation to the victim.
How much would it have been? And just for us to depends. Have an idea.
In this case, it could run up to £100,000, maybe, or slightly less.
Really?
Yes. Yes, because it would look at the fact that he was removed from his base, put into a place where he knew nobody, nothing. The possibility of starting a new life, what he has lost, and the trauma, the psychological trauma he has suffered. So it could be especially, and then the judge would look at the ability of the other party to pay, of Kuremadu to pay. So it could go as much as that, yes.
Well, if the judge said that Kuremadu had about 40 houses, I'm sure they would think they could pounce on one if they need. Did the guy have any legal representation though?
He didn't need legal representation.
So who would have advised him not to take the money?
Well, police officers were there with him. They went to see him. So I'm not sure he had anything. But if he had legal representation, the lawyer wouldn't advise him not to take the money. Matter of fact, the advice would have been take the money. So I think maybe it was a decision he made himself.
The court, the matter has gone on appeal, I assume. Am I right?
Well, I've heard people say it's gone on appeal. Well, I've not seen anything that shows it's going to appeal. Appeal is not automatic.
Oh, I see.
He needs to get what we call a leave to appeal. And what is he appealing? Is he appealing the sentence or is he appealing the conviction? So if he goes to appeal, first there's a conviction, then there's a sentence. If he thinks the conviction was wrong, then he appeals the conviction.
Yeah.
He would have 28 days from the date of conviction to put a leave for appeal. Now, appeal is technical. Appeals are technical here. You don't just say, I disagree with the court. No. You have to appeal on a point of law. So it was a jury conviction. A jury convicted him. A jury of his peers. Ordinary people who heard the thing. The jury is the absolute arbiter of facts. They come up with what they call the findings of fact. We found that the accused did this. That is a legal fact, which is immutable. You cannot change it. So if the jury found that he did these things, what is he appealing? What is this ground of appeal? You can only appeal if you say there was a case where the judge misdirected the jury.
Okay.
There's a legal technical point there. Or if the jury had tampered with, there is a legal technical point there.
Okay, I think we have just about 2 minutes more. If you don't mind, Doctor, we'll take a short break. This time the break won't be as long as the other time, I assure you. We've corrected that. Just give us like a 2-3 minute break. When we come back, I'd like you to think before we come back. I'm going to be asking you, whether there was anything the federal government of Nigeria could have done to assist, and in what manner they could have done to assist or prevent the kind of judgment that we got. That is one of the issues we're going to look on when we do come back on break. Okay? You got me?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, Doc. I'll see you then. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
This is Daily Digest with Jimmy Disso.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disso. And I have Dr. Yemi Onifade, is a lawyer who practices in the United Kingdom. And we're looking at the Ekweremadu case. As all of you would know, my emphasis has been on the victim. And I was just telling Feta here that under no constitution would I have allowed a 21-year-old boy, donate his kidney, even if they were twins. The reason being that you'll be solving one problem and creating another one. No, but that's neither here nor there. I haven't been too happy about the way, the media covered it. One of the top guys in the media was saying yesterday, if it was him, he would do the same thing. I'm quite ashamed to hear that. To save your own child, you'd put another, virtually like a child, under big risk. But back to Dr. Onifade, how are you? You can hear me loud and clear?
Loud and clear.
Loud and clear. Back to Dr. Onifade. You find that people have been highly emotional because of the Nigerian attitude that an important person must suffer nothing. And they've called on the government, they've got former heads of state to write in, they called on the government and so called on the government to do something. Let's take the government on from the very onset, because Ohaneze was saying yesterday in the statement that the government didn't do anything in this case. What could the government have done?
Nothing.
I'm glad I'm hearing that from you. I thought so too.
We have an independent judiciary here.
Okay.
And the government, neither the British government or foreign government, can influence the judiciary. The judiciary will do what it believes to be right. If an error is made, we have the mechanism to correct it. Now, yes, people are allowed to write.
Yes.
In mitigation.
Okay.
But the judge will take the mitigating factors and the aggravating factors into consideration when he gives his judgment. So they can write, but there's nothing the government can do, the Nigerian government. There's nothing.
So those who criticize the government of doing nothing probably don't know what they're talking about.
They're ignorant.
Yes.
There's nothing the government can do. You can write to the... You're free to write to the court as Jimmy Disso. You can write to the court to say, oh, I know Mr. Dr. Ekweremadu, he was this. Fine.
I don't know
him. The court will look at it and then say, okay, he has done so many good things in the past. Fine. But he's done this thing wrong.
Does this make him a criminal?
Yeah. Anybody who commits a crime is a criminal. But having committed a crime is not the end of the world.
Yes.
In this part of the world, we have what you call the Rehabilitation of Offenders Act, which is a very humane act. After you paid your debt to society, you're free to go back as an equal member of society and make your contributions. So it is not a blemish for life. There are some cases that are blemishes for life, yes, but it's not every crime that's a blemish for life.
I think what do they call these people who sleep with small kids?
Pedophiles,
that's for life, I think.
Yes.
If I remember the Gary Glitter case.
Yes. I can't explain the whole of the act here.
Yes.
But it depends on the length of sentence. After some time, you get what you call it, the sentence is spent. After certain times and after certain times, depending on how long. But if you get a sentence as long as Ekweremadu, I don't think it can ever be spent, but you can still play your part in society.
Do you think he was legal? There was advice and he didn't take it. Because I remember that last week when I was talking to you, you were saying something to the effect that, if he had pleaded guilty, he probably would have gotten a lighter sentence.
Yes. The sentencing guidelines also provide for what we call discounts and sentencing.
Yes.
So, if you know you did something, you see, society here operates on trust. If you know you did something, raise up your hand and say, I'm sorry I did it. This is, and you have not wasted the court's time. If you see, if you look, one of the orders against Ekweremadu is to pay the prosecution, the crown, the cost of prosecution.
Yes, I remember that. That'll be about how much?
Well, it depends how long the whole case took, and then the all the facts, the lawyers that were involved, the witnesses that were involved. So it could vary, but it could be maybe around 5 to 10,000, or maybe slightly less. So if you know you did it, you plead guilty. The earlier you do that, the more discounts you'll get. Now, the guidelines gives different categories. The worst kind of offenses we get in category one. This was in category two. And this is because I think because he was not like doing it for commercial purposes. So you can imagine for somebody who was trafficking in organ and doing it for commercial purposes and trafficking human organs, human trafficking, that would be a category one.
Wow. And, what about Dr. Madu, the guy, the intermediary?
Well, I don't think the court, there was no evidence to adduce that Madu was doing that for on a commercial basis. He could have made some monetary gains in this one, but it wasn't his job. He was a medical doctor, and they knew that.
We say Madu is a medical doctor. Can he still practice in the UK?
No.
That's the end of his career.
When he comes out of prison, he will go before the General Medical Council, and I can't see how they would allow him practice. His license will be withdrawn.
Wow. Would he be sent back to Nigeria, or would he be allowed to leave his home?
It depends. If he's British, he won't be sent back.
He won't be sent back.
If he's not British, if he's Nigerian, no British nationality, then he would have to show a good cause. It's not automatic. If he has permanent stay here, there will be a process. But yes, he could be deported. Yes. Any foreigner who has spent more than 1 year in prison is subject to deportation.
I can't remember who it was now. My brain is a bit fuzzy. But somebody is said to have written a letter to Prince Charles, to intervene in after the sentence. To intervene, I suspect the person thinks that could Prince Charles use his influence to get him off the hook or something like that. You heard anything like that?
No, I've seen so many things. I don't believe everything I read on social media, but I've seen something like that. But writing to Prince Charles is not. It's not. If you want to get him a pardon, you don't write to the king directly. There's a process. You're the Secretary of State.
Oh, okay. Can the government lead the process for a pardon?
It would make things worse for him because he will be seen as a privileged person. It will be easier if individuals ask for pardon, but it's not usually done like that. Yes, the crown, the king, can pardon anybody, but it's very, very rare. Clear. Mitigating circumstances, which I don't see in this case, but you don't write to the king.
Ducky, I'm of the impression, and I'd like you to correct me, that the flurry of letters and comments also complicated the Ekweremadu's case. During the trial, the caliber of people, the Senate visited him, they did this. Don't you think this will spark something in the judge to say, but this man should know he's such so important, and that I will use this, he use this, his own case, to teach other people a lesson?
It is possible, but the judge was not allowed to say, he wouldn't say that, but if he said that, then he opens the door for an appeal.
I know.
Because as I was saying earlier on, you can appeal the sentence separately. So you can say, okay, I accept the conviction, but the sentence is too harsh. So we say it is manifestly excessive. But in this case, he was in the category B, and the cusp, the lower end of category B, he got 9 years and 8 months, which means he was at the lower end of category B. If it were category A, it would come from 15 years to life.
Wow.
So he got the lower end of category B. I can't say him saying that is harsh. So before you appeal, you have to seek a leave to appeal. And then you have to state the legal, the technical points. And a judge would have to grant that leave before you put in an appeal. So maybe there's a notice of leave to appeal, but I can't see the point of appeal here. Those are the legal point that he wants to appeal on. I wait to see the magic his lawyers would do, but I don't see him appealing, and I don't see any prospect of a successful appeal.
Okay, now, on the moral front, sorry to take much of your morning. On the moral front, I was surprised yesterday, for example, when a very senior journalist said that, oh, if I were him, I would have done the same thing. That it caught me unawares coming from that gentleman. I don't want to mention his name. I don't want to get involved in controversies. But it also shows part of the thinking in our society. Everybody concentrated on him. Oh, how his child, his daughter is suffering and so on and so forth, and completely forgot the victim. So on the moral side, what does that tell you?
You see, the way we've been doing things in Nigeria, we have created a dog-eat-dog society. We have very little compassion for one another. It is always me first, and we very seldom care about what happens to the other person. So, in a society like Nigeria and some other societies across the world, what Ekweremadu has done is not seen as a crime. He's just trying to help his daughter. Mm-hmm. But in civilized societies, and I'm not saying Nigeria is not civilized, that's not impeding what I'm saying. There is a notion that society protects every one of us, more so the weakest in society.
Yes.
So whilst you're allowed to get a donor, the donor must be properly informed. You cannot buy, even if you have money, you cannot buy. You cannot sell, even if you need money, you are not allowed to sell organs. Because it goes back to selling human beings. Slavery. That's why it's called the Modern Slavery Act. You're selling and buying human beings. Yes, there were people those days who thought buying and selling slaves was a business.
Yeah.
It is wrong. Morally reprehensible. And that is what this act says. So, I am not surprised to hear that from people in Nigeria. I've heard it the lap of this theory was just trying to protect them. But no, the law says you cannot do it. And look at the moral front.
Yeah.
When you get someone to do such a thing without giving him proper information, what are the health implications? What steps have been taken to provide for him health-wise? So that, yes, we can all survive on one kidney. Yes, we can survive. We can walk. One kidney is enough, but it has to be working. So, and at that tender age, 21, even if he were to donate, he will have to be properly informed, knows the implications, not to say I want to do it, but to say I know that my other kidney can fail anytime. And if it fails, I would have no kidney and I would need to be on dialysis for the rest of my life unless I find a donor. Now, in the UK, you don't always have to find a donor. We have a bank, and you go on the list. It can take up to 5 years, but you will be on dialysis until the time has come where the donor is found for you. But sometimes, if you can get a donor, you jump the queue, which is what was happening here, in my view. He was trying to jump the queue because the daughter was already in the system. If she waited, in a few years, she will get a donor. But we were trying to jump the queue.
From the moral standpoint...
Morally, I think it is reprehensible.
Yeah, reprehensible. Sorry, go on. Yeah, and I also think that, like I was saying off-air, we're discussing with Feta here, that nothing was, there's no evidence that anything was provided for the guy. If I'm going to be donating my kidney, for God's sake, and you would make provisions for me for the rest of my life to take care of my health. It could be, you don't need to give me the money per se. You could say, okay, I'm going to take care, you're going to go on a full comprehensive insurance that would last a lifetime. Even if I die, my estate will continue to do that. Nothing of that nature. Rather, instead of the guy to have even gotten 10 million, he got 200, and I don't know how the doctor calculated that percentage.
That is also part, that's part of the whole conspiracy.
Yes.
Keep one step away. If it was a genuine donor, Ekweremadu would have met that boy.
Of course, and discussed with him extensively.
They would have pulled him in. What can I do to help? Okay, make sure the health facilities are this. Make sure he gets this. And this is, you know, he would have spoken to the boy's family, his parents. So it would have been something that was really, you're not allowed to pay money because it has to be altruistic.
Yes.
So he had to be, a lot of people has to be involved and know it's a genuine donation. But stay one step away, not meeting him all the while. If you're going to donate something for my daughter, I would like to meet you.
Yes.
I'd like to know your background. I'd like to know your family. I'd like to, you know, thank everybody, you know. But that didn't happen.
Okay, we have a flurry of callers here. 0700-993-993-993, 0146571190. We have so many callers. So if you do call in, try and be as brief as possible. I'll take my first caller. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Yes, Pastor Ladipo.
Coming from Oregon.
Yes.
My question to the lawyer is this: how will he spend the whole 9 years, or the thing we run concurrently, like we used to calculate here? That is my question, sir.
Okay, Pastor Ladipo, you heard the judgment. He's going to spend 2/3. Okay, he's going to spend 2/3. I think also the prison year is not one complete year or whatever, but he's not going to spend the whole time there. So I can move on to the next caller. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. The judgment is on YouTube. You can go to YouTube if you missed it. Hello?
Hello, Uncle Jimmy.
Yes.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, and to the guest.
Just go on, please, yes.
So please, this is Godman. I just want to know, because I think what I'm really concerned about is that boy's protection.
Yes.
Some people will just feel like, oh, because of this boy, he got into the prison. And, you know, some people just take it upon themselves that they want to hurt him.
Yes.
You know, so I don't know if there's any provision to really protect that boy. And for the fact that he even didn't collect anything, it shows you the kind of heart he has.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Nifade had explained that the boy is likely to be granted asylum. He said that. So we can move on to the next caller.
There is a witness protection scheme.
There's a witness protection scheme.
Hello,
yes.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Jimmy. My name is Somaga.
Morning, please go on.
Okay, my question is simple. I agree with the part where the doctor said, talked about the Ekweremadu considering the health of the child. A simple insurance, like you said, could have helped, and it would have cost him nothing. I think there's some act of wickedness.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
Then, I have a question.
Go on quickly.
I don't know if it's right that when the doctor said that there's nothing the Nigerian government could have done. Take, for example, when the American basketballer committed a crime, I think she went to heroin in Russia. America made sure that she was extradited to U.S. to face sanctions. I think if Ekweremadu was an American, I think their government would have done something to affect, maybe to tell British government to extradite her.
Okay, let the doctor answer. Yeah. Ducky?
Okay, in the case of the American basketballer, it's a different matter. Matter of fact, what happened in that case was an exchange of prisoners.
Okay.
They had Victor Boot in America, who was convicted for gun running, and the American government reached a political decision to exchange him for the American basketballer who was in Russian prison for drugs. So there was pressure put, and there was an exchange of prisoners. So that happens in some cases. Now, in the UK, the UK will not do that.
Okay.
For that to initially, there has to be a conviction.
Yes.
Now, at this point, the question is whether the Nigerian government would like Nkrumah to serve his prison term in Nigeria.
Yes.
There is no standing agreement between the UK and Nigeria on that. But if there is, I'm not aware of one. They tried to put one in place to exchange prisoners. But the prisoner would have to agree to go and serve it in Nigeria first. So there has to be an agreement, and then the prisoner agrees to go and serve in Nigeria. Nkrumah can go to serve it in Nigeria. And then there are terms to such agreement. So in the case of the American basketballer, it was an exchange of prisoners.
Also,
and it was also something that happened between UK, between the US and this Russia frequently. Also, it was an exchange of prisoners.
Also, I'm almost sure that there are some elements of espionage in this case, and those charges on maybe on both ends were just like covers.
Correct.
They're beyond is just the ordinary. This crime is highly
political matters.
Yes, a political matter. This one is highly personal. If a Nkrumah had been caught with document or whatever, such things can happen. But the question I also ask Nigerians is why people get charged every day in British courts. Why haven't you asked the government to step in those cases? Is it because Nkrumah is a big man? People get
correct.
Yes, I mean, we need to get these things right. All the time. There's a big, some are saying the government should step in. You should be saying the government should step in any Nigerian that is charged.
There's nothing the government can do.
There's nothing the government can do. Okay, we have another call. Hello, good morning. Hello, morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, ma.
Uncle Jimmy, my own is that a lot of escaped kidnapped victims.
Yes.
Have alluded the fact that most times in the bush, you hear them harvesting organs, calling some people to bring this amount and all wow. that. I'm sure you've heard it.
Yes.
No, it's there. They put it
I
out they, when they escape. Mm. If you can't bring this much, they just cut you up and harvest your organs. It's time we probably started investigating all this because a lot may be happening here.
Okay.
Good morning.
Thank you, madam. Hello, good morning. Hello? Hello?
Oh, good morning.
Morning, sir, please.
Hello? Quickly. Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Please, you forgive me if I have to be anonymous. I've been in the same situation. My sister, I lost my own sister to kidney issues.
Yeah.
We went to India and the requirements were extremely strict.
Yeah.
When I mean extremely strict, it's extremely strict. One of the requirements is that only your nuclear family can donate to you. Only your nuclear family. No other person can donate to you.
Okay.
So I want to believe Nkrumah knew exactly what he was doing.
What he was doing. Okay.
Yeah.
And our last question for the day would be this one. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Henry.
Morning, quickly, sir.
This is we serve as a deterrent of the order to our elite.
Yes.
You have done all this issue. To the populace. It's not good. It's not good. I like what the doctor said.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Okay, Dr. Nifade, I got to go. Thank you very much. I'm sure I'm happy that I was able to drag you from making a good buck in the past 1 hour. But it's good. It's good for your service to your country. Any hope of you coming to town soon?
Yes. In June.
In June, please. We'd like to have you live in the studio, okay? We'd like to have you live in the studio, okay? Well, that's where we're going to close the program for today. I'd like to thank Dr. Yemi Onifade for giving us his time on a Tuesday morning. Only God knows how much. You know, lawyers start by the hour, even to write letters every morning, to give us his time to discuss this. I'm sorry about the earlier hitches that we had, you know. I'm sure we were able to make up for it. Eventually in the program. We'll be back again tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Dear Bumi is, you know, we're going to have Dear Bumi, and my guest is going to be Inkiru the Farmer. You know, I wanted to bring Isoma the Butcher, but Isoma the Butcher is back in school. So to represent her, we'll be Inkiru the Farmer. That's what we'll be doing tomorrow. Okay, so hopefully we'll also be looking at somewhere along the line, we'll be looking at giving you an update on what's going on at the petitions tribunal. We'll be able to discuss with one or two layers. One more time, Dr. Thank you very much. I got to go.
Thank you.
I like your T-shirt, though. Nice one. Don't they have a 2XL size? They don't have. Okay. So go out there and have a lovely day, and greetings to all of you. Take it easy. You guess what's coming up next? What's Up Lagos? Stand by. See you then.
And I want to assume that you would run, because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like the brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not